President Bush likes cowboy poetry and Austin Powers. John Kerry was in a high school rock band and likes the movie Animal House. Perhaps these are not the most important things to know about the candidates running for president, but you can learn a lot more about each man through the art that inspires him. NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports.
George W. Bush seems to like all things Texan. One of his favorite poems is The Fence That Me and Shorty Built by Red Steagall, a poet and songwriter from Fort Worth. It's about a young man who earns some extra money building a fence. He learns a few life lessons in the process. Here's an excerpt.
Boy, I was digging post holes faster than a Georgia mole. But if a rock got in my way, I simply moved the hole. So when the cowboys set the posts, the line went in and out. And old Shorty's face got fiery red, and I can hear him shout, "Nobody but a fool would build a fence that isn't straight. And I got no use for someone who ain't pulling his own weight."
George W. Bush wrote a letter praising Red Steagall's work, saying, "Yours is the language of the Texas cowboy, simple, direct, and wise." When it comes to music, the president likes George Jones, Reba McEntire, and even the left-leaning activist musician Willie Nelson, who's from Central Texas. Bush biographer Bill Minutaglio says as a young man, George W. went to more than one Willie Nelson concert.
And being so enthused about being there, this is back in the 1970s, that at some point even somehow or other figured out how to get up on stage, I think completely unbeknownst to Willie Nelson.
Oh, they tell me I'm home far beyond the skies, and they tell me I'm home far away.
When Mr. Bush moved into the White House, he brought along with him a painting called A Charge to Keep by W.H.D. Kerner. It's named after a Methodist hymn by Charles Wesley. In his memoir, also named A Charge to Keep, Mr. Bush wrote that the Kerner work is a beautiful painting of a horseman determinedly charging up what appears to be a steep and rough trail. This is us. What adds complete life to the painting for me is the message of Charles Wesley that we serve one greater than ourselves. As for government support for the arts, George and Laura Bush have a track record supporting it, going back to his days as Texas governor. Bob Lynch is head of the advocacy group Americans for the Arts.
He never cut the arts in the budget of the State Arts Council. When he became president of the United States, we've seen that federal funding for the arts has gone up slightly. This year, Laura Bush came forward proposing on the president's behalf an $18 million increase in the National Endowment for the Arts budget. So once again, there is positive news there that the president has been supportive and continues to look supportive in a modest way.
Mr. Bush appointed Adair Margot to chair the president's Committee on the Arts and Humanities. Margot is the owner of an art gallery in El Paso and a former chair of the Texas Arts Commission. She says George and Laura Bush understand the value of the arts.
When there's war and all these things, I think they understand so well that life goes on. And we need to enjoy each day. And I was at Ray Nasher, my vice chairman, just opened a sculpture center in Dallas. And I'll never forget when Laura Bush was there and had a press conference. She was encouraging people to come. And she says, make a memory for your child.
As for John Kerry and his wife, Teresa Hines Kerry, Americans for the Arts head Bob Lynch says they, too, have a long record supporting arts funding.
And we can take a look at his Senate votes over time and see that he has a 100% record of voting the way we at Americans for the Arts think somebody who is supportive of the arts or arts education should vote. Teresa Hines Kerry is a big Pittsburgh arts supporter, and the Hines Foundation there has significantly invested in local arts institutions and national arts institutions. Secondly, we know that John Kerry himself has an interest in the arts. He's a classical guitar player and has rock and roll guitar roots.
The Electras, they were very cool.
That's Cameron Kerry, John Kerry's younger brother. He says the Electras were a big deal at St. Paul's School in Concord, New Hampshire.
I have the record. I think the liner notes say something about his pulsating bass beat.
John John Kerry still plays guitar. He told a friend he tries to practice a little each day. Songs like This Land Is Your Land and some classical pieces.
And he's totally absorbed in it. You know, he's not a great guitar player.
Peter Yarrow of Peter, Paul and Mary has been friends with John Kerry since the early 1970s.
He is in touch with his emotions. He is in touch with his joy at something beautiful. He has enough of the artist in him to know that there is that side of the human being.
Another friend remembers that in college, John Kerry liked French singer Edith Piaf and Broadway show tunes. Cameron Kerry says his brother also loves big movies, like The Godfather and Schindler's List. They saw the 1970 hit MASH together shortly after John Kerry returned from Vietnam.
It's something he laughed at a lot, and it really reflected a lot of his experiences in Vietnam. The camaraderie of it, some of the craziness, and some of the attitude that junior officers developed.
I was just enjoying that lovely dish there.
Captain, you are speaking about a lieutenant in the United States Army. I'm Colonel Blake.
Oh, Colonel. Yeah, I'm Duke Forrester, new cutter. That's my driver over here.
Captain Hawkeye Pierce. Are you leaving?
Yes, I am.
Good afternoon, Pierce. Lieutenant Dish.
Good afternoon, Captain Hawkeye Pierce.
Neither President Bush nor Senator Kerry was available to comment for this story on the art that inspires them. Bits and pieces have been written about what they like over the years, but it's hard to tell what's genuine and what's spin. Bush biographer Bill Minutaglio says it's almost impossible to know what any seasoned politician really believes about anything.
Frankly, if you're in the game this long, like these guys have been, John Kerry, George W. Bush, anybody else who ever runs for office, it's usually the culmination of a lifetime of work. I think they've gone so far upriver themselves that sometimes it's hard to divorce the mythology from the reality for themselves, and even for them to decide, really, what is my own true, authentic, poetic interior? It's just been crafted for them. It's been packaged. They've become almost unreal in a way.
Minutaglio adds that most politicians seem to get back to their true selves after they leave office. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.